Farming with Mairead Lavery on Moncrief.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cent, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Daniel in Cork says, "You're a bad man playing that song, Puppy Love." I didn't play it. That was the Q-Man. Q-Man can't stop himself. You see him trying to restrain himself and do his like cool thing. See? Like he's sitting in there going, "I prefer to play some, you know, did you do avant-garde jazz?" Oh, Donnie. Adam says, "That song was released on my birthday. My family insist on singing this at me instead of happy birthday because they think it's funny. I do not. Not one little bit. But now it's a tradition, so I'm stuck with it." God love you, Adam. I'm pleased to say, though, Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal joins us once again. Good afternoon, Mairead.
Good afternoon.
Given the lovely day that's in it, will we soon see little sheepies gambling around the place?
Yeah, they've been able to get them out. The guys and girls who were lambing down Sheds of Yeo's there last week faced some rotten weather and they couldn't get them out at all. But the lambs are out in the sunshine and they're playing hopscotch and they're playing King of the Castle. And they are just the happiest sight that you can possibly imagine. Mm. Now, that is, of course, if they're all with the right mums and mums recognise them and there's no rows over whose baby they are. Because that's the biggest concern that you possibly have in a sheep shed. You know, not every farmer is in the shed the whole time. And once they hit 147 days, from the time they went in lamb, then that's when they start lambing. And it can happen very quickly and you can get a lot of yos lambing. Actually, there was 400 kids out in secondary school kids with AgriAware. They were out in Grey and in Lines just out there in Newcastle. And they witnessed, I think it was 41 sheep on the day lambing. So there was lambs coming from every direction. But what can happen is you have a yo with twins, right? And she's a nice straw bed and she's there and she's the first one in the pen and every other expectant mum is looking and they're going over and they're having a think and maybe it's them that's lambing. And then she produces the first lamb and she licks it and she gets the smell of it and she bonds with it there just that few minutes. Mm-hmm. And all the other girls in the pen are coming over and licking the lamb as well and they think it's their lamb. And the next thing, she gets busy lambing the second one. So number one then is kind of, he's on his feet and he's steady and he's being loved by everybody. And the next thing, he wanders into another pen and takes him a couple of hours to get back to his original mother. And she's saying to him, don't like the smell of you. you're not mine. I'm not programmed to mind you. I have one here and that's it. And off you go. And she gives him a kick or a punt with her head. And he's gone. And there he is going around the pen begging for milk. And now he's got no mother. Mm-hmm. And that literally happened.
Is that common?
It is. It's very common. And I actually find, well, at home now, we found that the Suffolk yeos, they're inclined to have black and white lambs and they'd only take one or the other. They wouldn't take both in some cases. But it can really, what really happens is if a yo maybe is very sick lambing or, you know, it hasn't been a good experience and she may be down and out about it and she doesn't bother with the lambs and then the lambs kind of get, you know, other yos will take them on, but they'll only take them on until their own lambs are born. Mm. And then they don't want anything to do with them and then you're left with these. So we have, every sheep farm in the country has these, has all the different ways of making sure to solve this problem. Because the other part of that problem is if you have a yos with plenty of milk and a good big single lamb, and then you have other yos that maybe aren't as strong and they have triplets, and she's not, that yo is not going to be able to rear the triplets very well. You'll end up with three lambs that aren't as good as they could be. So you want to get one of those lambs adopted onto the single yo. And so there's adoption pens now where basically the yo is in a situation where she can't look behind her to see the lambs. And the two little lambs are lovely and hot and cosy. They're in a confined space. They're drinking. She's able to stand up, get their milk. And after a couple of days of it, maybe just 2 days, then, you know, you get her to have a smell of the lambs. And they're so kind of a part of each other that she doesn't know which is which. So then she takes the two of them because she's not going to reject her own, but she's not sure which is her own. So that is, you know, the husbandry involved in that. Now, I mean, in the past, dead lambs, you know, or people would have put, you know, if a sheep had maybe a dead lamb and a live lamb or maybe two dead lambs and she'd perfectly good yo and, you know, she had plenty of milk, you might have been able to put one of those lambs on by skinning the other lamb, the dead lamb. But that doesn't happen too often. It's more this rogue little lamb that just kind of manages to get out of the pen and wander around, and you're wondering who he belongs to, and then you discover he belongs to absolutely nobody. Or he does, but she's rejected him. And so getting them out, when you put them outside, outdoors, you'll always see mom, you know, you'll see the two little lambs cuddling together out in the grass in the sun now, sunning themselves. And mom will be over a bit further. And it's when you see them, the two of them gambling along with her, you know then that everything is fine. Because often when you put them out to grass, that's when the trouble arises. Because, like, she's got plenty of space. She's not going to be hemmed into any corner. And if she doesn't like the lamb, by golly, that lamb ain't going to get fed. And, you know, literally in 24 hours, you can see a little lamb go from being this little ball of, like, you know, fat, like just this little kind of cuddly toy nearly, to losing, the tummy goes in, the back gets haunched. It's awful to see it. So that's what sheep farmers are all the time looking out for.
Right.
To make sure that's managed well.
And I mean, today's a lovely day, but if say that, you know, and so would they be putting them out today and hoping that things will stay well?
Look, you're always, no more than in maternity hospitals, you're always better to get home as soon as possible on the whole to avoid infection. Infection is something that, you know, it's very difficult to manage, especially when you're dealing with big numbers. And this whole thing about mismothering. So on a day like today or yesterday, you just get them straight out and they acclimatise very quickly. Now, you know, we're getting nearer the 1st of April. You know, it's not like lambing in January where you've got all of January, March and February to get through. It shouldn't be too bad now. And I mean, this is just, it's just perfect weather for all the baby lambs to go out, you know. And it is, it's just, actually, you know, you'll be driving by fields of sheep with little lambs. You should pull the car into the gate. Now, if it's safe to do so, of course. And just stand and watch, especially in the evening time, you know, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the evening, when they're playing King of the Castle, they will find high point in the field. It could be just some stones. It could be an old tree stump. And they will want to be the king of the castle, the little baby lambs. Wonderful sight.
Now, you're in Croke Park today. What were you doing there?
I was in Croke Park today and I wasn't kicking footballs or anything like that. And I'll tell you what, if I hear a bad word said against teenagers, do you know, I'd be up in arms. On Friday, I was inside. Last Friday, I was with the, I was chairing the model schools, the model EU Commission or EU Council debate, and there was about 28 secondary schools all acting on behalf of the different countries in the EU. And what I learned about the EU and trade agreements and everything, I mean, it was, they were just amazing. They were amazing. And some of the kids, I would put them up against Nigel Farage any day and they would make mince meat out of them in terms of the EU. So fantastic kids. Today, another bunch of youngsters, 50 schools above in Croke Park, looking at Aberdeen Angus cattle. Now, it seems like such a weird thing for them to be thinking about, but they were so enthusiastic, and there were urban schools and rural schools and teams where there was nobody from a farming background, or maybe their uncle or their granny or granddad was a farmer. And what they were doing was talking about Angus beef, why it was, you know, so good, why it suited women farmers, because, you know, they're much more docile animals, they're smaller, they're not as heavy, they're not as bad for the land, you know, they're not as heavy or hard on the land. And just the range of stuff, like I brought in some of it. There's now a chocolate bar they had, and they wrapped it in the taste of Angus beef as a promotion for it. Like, look at the sheer look of that. Another lot here, tablecloths, tea towels, with all the stuff about the Angus beef on it. The level of... I was just totally bowled over by them. Totally bowled over. The surveys, some of them had surveyed up to 800 people. Like, I mean, this is like TNS MRBI's kind of level of stuff. Three kids in a team. And they've only been doing it like this. This lot would have found out at the end of January that they were being shortlisted. And today, you know, I don't know how, I was one of the judges. I had five schools to pick from. We won't know until 4 o'clock, unfortunately, who the winner, who gets through. But, I mean, amazing, amazing competition. Really fantastic for the Angus breed. It just shows what a bit of clever ideas from the breeders, and it's supported by ABP and by Keepac. And the winning schools, the five winning schools today, will get five heifers, or five Angus calves, at the ploughing next year. And they get to rear them for a year.
The Angus calves now, do they stay on the school or
well,
some other place?
Well, sometimes they stay in the school for the first couple of days generally because everybody gets used to the fact that there's now school has five Angus calves.
Mm.
And then they generally go on to a farm. But what the kids are watching for is all sorts of things, the growth patterns, what they're feeding them, you know, right up to slaughter. This is not a kind of a pet exercise. This is actually a hard commercial exercise. What are they going to do in terms of, you know, the producing the income, the labour involved, all the costs. They're going to be managing it the whole way through. How to promote the beef, what way to sell it, what to do it. Like some of the kids today, there's one of them, the school, they're having their 40th anniversary and they're going to feed 800 people with burgers they're making themselves. And they tied in the home economics classes and they tied in, you know, other classes with them in producing the exhibits today. A lot of them were ag science students or they were, you know, doing transition year. But they were absolutely outstanding. And, you know, they're 15 and 16.
And would these schools have been, were any or many of them from urban areas?
Yeah, quite a lot of them. You know, Limerick City, there was a couple of schools. Dublin, there's a couple of schools as well.
Okay, that's good to say then.
But there was an awful lot of the rural schools had, you know, they were rural schools, but nobody with a connection to farming.
Mm.
And, you know, it's 50 years ago this year since Donal O'Malley introduced free education. And you know what? There should be statues to that guy right around the country. Because, you know, in my lifetime, I have seen the improvement in the school's infrastructure, in equipment, in everything. And to see it inside, I mean, I was speaking to so many of the judges and every one of them were just bowled over by the standards and the enthusiasm and the knowledge that the young people had. And these are 15 and 16 year olds. And, you know, like Mulna Noga Gustukishid, there's never a truer set of words spoken. You give them a chance and they will blossom. And, you know, I saw it on Friday. I saw today 400 kids out on farms. Well, just on one farm there on Monday as well. And, you know, the teenagers get such bad press and they don't deserve it. And you know what? Their teachers don't deserve it either, because the enthusiasm of the teachers that were there today and last Friday, where I was at, was just super. And the way, and, you know, no trouble, I never heard a cheeky remark or a thing. Just super kids. Super.
Yeah.
Super.
Yeah, that's good. Very good to hear. Eva, an interview with Michael O'Leary.
We have an exclusive with Michael
O'Leary.
No,
I didn't even know this, but he's a farmer himself.
Yeah, he's actually Angus beef. He's big into the Angus. He's 250 pedigree and 250 commercials, and he has a draft sale, or well, a big sale of stock on the 15th of April coming up. So he did an exclusive with us, and farmers mightn't like what, well, they like what he says in terms of the fact that he's saying he'd get rid of, if he was Minister for Agriculture, he'd get rid of a load of the regulation. Far too regulated farmers. Ridiculous. But he also says...
Not unsurprising,
exactly, yeah,
yes.
That's true to form. But basically, he also said too many farms, too many farm units out there, too many of them will never be commercial. And we really need to be looking at creating more viable farms, and that needs to be done. And he would look to the New Zealand model as how to do it. That would be his favourite. Doesn't really support direct payments or subsidies at all. It's just making places, it's continuing to keep people hanging on, when in actual fact we should be really looking for viability.
Fewer bigger farms,
and that's exactly where he's doing. But he talks a lot about Brexit, just all about, you know, the different breeds of cattle, and he really, you know, he's into this. He grew up on a farm, and as soon as he could, he bought his own farm.
Oh, right.
So he's Gigginstown, up in the Midlands, and anyway, if people are interested in looking at the place and seeing the cattle and buying the cattle, more than likely the 15th of April is the big draft.
No matter what he does, he manages to get himself a free advert.
Yeah.
Mairead keeps saying lamin, but now Bob Marley's Jammin' is in my head, but I'm still singing it with lamin. I want to lamb it with you. Mairead Lavery, thanks a million for coming into us. Mairead Lavery there.
Bye.
Back in a couple of minutes.
Tune in every Wednesday from 2:45 to learn more about farming life on Moncrief.